have a poem. He shared his wisdom and his knowledge, his time and his advice, a gentle touch, a smile, a hug, his love, his faith in Christ. His hands are strong yet gentle as he holds you in his care. He teaches by example, he's prayed a million prayers. His children mean the world to him, of that there is no doubt. No matter what it is they need, he's there to help them out. Heart so full of tenderness, a rock in times of strife, God gave us dads so we might know what heaven must be like. My dad is the strongest guy that I know. He goes to work all day, doesn't matter what pain he's going through. He's me, anything. He goes to work, doesn't matter. I've been to work with him before, and trust me, it's really hard because I fell asleep in the middle of the woman's lawn while we were laying concrete. It was the worst experience of my life. Wheelbarrow flew out of the back of the truck. Terrible. So I will not go to work with him. But there was another time that I went to work with him, and he asked me to climb up the scaffolding. I'm not afraid of heights, but that really scared me. I don't know how he does it, but he does it every day, and doesn't matter what, he always goes to work and provides for us, and then he comes here and preaches, and honestly, you're the strongest guy I know.
Well, I'm really not going to say anything because I've said enough already. And you all know how I feel about my pastor, my brother. You know that you remind me so much of our father. And he's my hero. And so are you. I think Aaron has a little something to say, too.
PK, how about a Bible, a dog, BK, can you help me? BK involves me, God. Dying a hard time. BK, how about dying and saving knee? Connor, Jesus, and Alice. God, BK, that's your whole brother, best friend ever.
Would you stand with me? Amen.
This is from the children's ministry. We present it to you just because you're the strongest male role model to a lot of children and to everyone in the congregation. And we love you.
Yeah. Because I told everybody Wednesday night my weakness, and it is Susie Q's. That's my new weakness. Come on, amen. Come on, we all have a weakness, amen. But this is my weakness, but I guess after this box. Come on, amen. After this box, I'm going to stand strong. Come on. Would you stand with me tonight? Come on, we've come to bless God. We've come to bless God. Come on, He's our Father, amen. I want you all just to come and just receive what God has for you. I want you to bless His name in our worship and praise. We give God honor. Come on. We just worship Him tonight with everything we have, with all that we are. I want this place to be filled with joy. Come on, joy in the house. I
stood in front of all these pastors that were there and I said, I have no idea what I'm doing. They all looked at me. But I was being truthful because I've never done this before. But He's my shepherd. He shows me how to shepherd. He puts it in my heart how to love His sheep. How to love them unconditional. To run out to the one that is lost. Hallelujah. And to celebrate when they're found. And to bring them home. I don't have an idea of what I'm doing in some things, but He does. That's why I make Him the center of it all. And that's why I cry with all of my heart, You are worthy of it all. Amen. Thank you. Jesus, Heavenly Father, we just pray that You just add to this word Your blessing. encourage this word tonight. Encourage each person, fathers, mothers, children, no matter who it is, God, Lord, I ask you, God, Lord, that you just encourage each one here tonight in the power of your name. And everybody said, amen. Can you look up Psalms 8, 3, and 4? Thank you, praise team. Don't get lost, because I'm going to get you back here real quick. Stay real quick. Because I want you to fellowship together tonight. Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right. So my wife was talking to me, and I was telling her I think Wednesday night in the office about a couple of days before Father's Day. My father, I don't know, I think it was right after school, and I think we were just irritating him. It was only like 4 days since school was out, and it was vacation. 4 days. And he reached his point. You know, I mean, my daughter knows where that is. There's a threshold. And I don't have to say anything. She just knows in the spirit. She just recognizes that aura, whatever, on me. You know, that thing. And that was with my dad at that moment. Where that we just wrecked the house. We were just messing things up. We were acting a fool. And my father had enough. So he grabbed his belt. Or he was ready to grab his belt. And he come downstairs, and you can hear him coming down the stairs. Dad. Me and Kenny. Dad. He said, what do? Run. It's a good idea. I mean, we're a lot in shape than he is, so let's run. Don't run. We decided to run. We made ourselves around the basement and up the doors and out the back door. And here comes my father, out of breath, wore out from the run, the lap. And he come up out the door. And this was a time he was about ready to become, almost ready to be the pastor in Elwood City. And at that time we were in transition and we weren't at church at that moment. And they were having church next door. And they were all entering into the service. And my father, the pastor, was running out the house with his belt. Listen, he is going to settle this once and for all. So here he comes out the door. And as he's coming out the door, he hits the bottom steps and so does his pants. He's standing there in his skivvies. That's what he called them. He's standing there in his skivvies, and as he's standing there, the people next door are going into church. Well, we know we're not going to church, that church. He's ready to go. He's going to that church, and he's looking at us, and he's looking at them, and he's thinking, my goodness, if I could touch you right now. And you see it in his eyes. You feel it, the Father. And he says, and as you're looking at him, and he's standing with his pants down, he reaches down, just really casual. Run now. You have to come in sometime. And he turned. And we won the battle, but I'm telling you, he won the war. I want you to know that. And, you know, I think about those moments. And I think about that. And I thank God that he did give me the rod of correction when I did need it. Amen? We do believe in that. Amen. Not to beat your children, but you know. Sometimes you got to do that. You got to correct your child. Amen? So let's look at this. And it says, they have said, come and let us go. Psalms 8, 3 and 4. Sorry, speak really quick. Sorry about that. And these are not my glasses. These are my wife's, so don't make fun of me. And it says, when I consider, this is when I want us to recognize this, and I hope that you feel this way, that as I consider, as I stop and reflect, as I take a moment, come on, amen, tell someone to take a moment. Just consider this right here. He says, consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, which you have set in place. Planets, stars, you've placed them with preciseness in the right moment and the right time. I'm looking out here tonight and looking people that are here at the right moment, at the right time. Amen. And he says, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou hast mindful of him, and the son of man that thou hast visited him? Who are we that you're mindful of me? But you are. Let's take a look at John. Let me see. No, I'm sorry. I got notes everywhere. Sorry. I was jotting down all my notes all over the place. So, Matthew 18:14. I want you to know this is the heart of God. Amen. It says, even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. Say no one. That is the will of my Father, that nobody perishes. Not one is lost. That everybody's valuable. Every life is meaningful. Every heartbeat, every breath. Every breath that you take is meaningful and purposeful to God. Tonight I want to share with you about the Father's business. And the Father's business is not nobody to be lost. That all would be saved. That no one would be lost. To be about the Father's business. To do the Father's business. To be about His work. I want you to recognize Him when someone comes up and says, what do you do for a living? He says, well, I'm part of the family business. Come on. What a way to testify to somebody. What a way to open up a door. When someone asks you, what do you do? Well, I'm in the family's business. Part of the family's business. I'm in my Father's business. I want you to recognize this. I want you to see that Jesus said, He says that I am about my Father's business. I began to think about this and I thought, wow, if I begin to stay out of everybody else's business and be about His business, I bet you I could take care of a lot of problems that are in my life. Come on, somebody amen me. Amen. What are some, maybe I wouldn't gossip if I was being about His business and not somebody else's business. Amen. That I'd be worried about someone else's family and just let the kingdom of God be about His business and let Him deal with my family. Be about the Father's business. I want you to know it takes care of everything. It deals with everything. If I'm about the Father's business, step away from mine and let Him take over. Amen. Let's take a look at this. John 4, verse 1. Are you going to help me tonight? I appreciate that. So here we go. And he says, remember, I want you to keep this in mind. He's about the Father's business. It says, and when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made more baptized and more disciples than John, blah, 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 blah. Say gossip. Listen, he heard this, that they were all talking about something that wasn't even true, but yet they were so disrupted by that. I want you to know sometimes we turn our ear to hear what other people are saying, and it directs us the wrong way instead of what God. It begins to consume our time and pull our energy in a different direction than what God would have us be on. Amen? I want you to know that whether you know it or not, when we're about His business, He's about your business. Come on, amen. He fulfills your business when you begin to work at His business. When you begin to work in the kingdom. Amen. So he began to declare something. He said this and he says, and they baptized more than John. And Jesus baptized not but His disciples. And this is how Jesus dealt with it. He left. Sometimes you just got to leave things aside. Don't let somebody consume the Father's business in your life. Don't let anger. Come on, amen. Don't let sin. Don't let frustration. Don't let failure. Don't let brokenness or whatever that thing is. Don't let it keep you from being about the Father's business. Am I making sense tonight? Being about the Father's business. Having a heart after the Father. I want you to know that David made a lot of mistakes, but I want you to know that his agenda was about the Father's business. And any time he messed up is whenever he got sidetracked with his own business and his own dirty laundry. But as he was about the Father's business, you've seen what happened, amen? Because he had a heart after God. But we stay out of trouble when we do the Father's business. And it says, and he left Judea, and he departed again into Galilee. And he must needs to go through Samaria. He had a need to go through Samaria. Now, y'all know this, that they weren't liked, that they would go a long route out of the way. I want you to hear this and know that I promise you, when you're on Walmart, there's some people that you'll go out of your way. Don't look at me. Don't. Come on, because I promise you, I bet you I've seen some of you hide behind the milk aisle. I've seen you. Oh, here comes Chris. Here comes Mr. Chris. Hey, you need help finding that? It's right there. You go out of the way sometimes because you feel uncomfortable. I want you to know that when you're about the Father's business, it'll take you out of your way. It'll take you out of your way and bring you into His way. It'll take you around in a different direction that sometimes you're not comfortable with. There's sometimes I don't feel like, I know that I've been right, that there's no reason I need to go to them. I'm going to go out the other way until they come to me. And God's saying, you got to be about my business. Don't go out of the way. So I want you to think about this and know that God will bring you out of a comfortable place. I want you to know that, listen, hear this and hear my heart with this, that God saves us. Amen. Not just to sit on the bench, but we are saved. We are saved. We are set free. And the moment we're saved and set free, I want you to know that we need to be about the Father's business. We need to have the heart and the will of the Father that no one perishes. That we have such compassion for those and brothers and sisters, those that are lost, those that are hurting. Because when we begin to lose that, we lose our passion for God. Because He's passionate about you. The more that I begin to know God, the more I become more passionate about each and every one of you. And the less I want to hurt somebody. Because I know if I hurt you, I hurt him. I know that if I hurt you, I hurt him. Because I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. Lord, I never knew you were thirsty. He says, no, I'm talking about them. That's the Father's business. That's His heart. I want to be about the Father's business. And realize in the midst of doing all that, that I'm fulfilling in my heart a joy unspeakable. I'm beginning to live in abundance that I didn't realize I had, that we didn't realize that you could have when you begin to be about the Father's business. Come on, amen. I haven't arrived, but I know that's what I want, is to be about His business 24/7. Come on, somebody say 24/7. Amen. Sometimes it doesn't feel convenient. Sometimes He'll take you out of your comfort zone. He needs to become greater than our own agenda. And I wrote that down. What would change if I did this? Come on. What would change if I was about His? Maybe my relationship with our families. Maybe my work situation. Maybe my finance situations. Maybe this or that, whatever that thing is. What would happen if I began to make it all about His business? His needs become greater than mine. And I just, as I began to think about that too, I began to think about how that, y'all know the story. He went out of His way for one person.
He went on this long journey. He went out of his way. He went to a different direction on a long hike for one person. That's the Father. To meet one lady in a moment of time. I want you to think about this and realize that's His thoughts about you. That's His thought about you, that He's willing to go out of the way for you. And He says He cometh to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. I don't think that I'm going to get through this. I just realized this right now. Where did that time go? That just dropped. I'm telling you. I just looked up. There was 10 after. Thank you. No, but I want you to see here, and I want you to see the power that everything that He does, hallelujah, is about you. Everything that He's done from the beginning of time is about you. Come on. It's about relationship. Come on. That's what the Father's will is. It's about relationship. Amen. That you're not consumed, that you don't perish, that you're not lost, but you're fulfilled. Amen. That you're fulfilled. Hallelujah. That you have everything you need. He says that we ask because we don't receive because we ask not. He wants you to be fulfilled. Tell your neighbor He wants you to be fulfilled. I want you to hear that. I want you to know it's the heart of the Father that you don't perish. Come on. That you're not lost. That things don't consume you. That you're not overbearing. That you're not weighted down. That's the heart of the Father. And He's willing to meet you wherever you're at any moment where you're at. And I started to think about this because I couldn't get past this today. I kept looking at this. I'm saying, all right, God, please tell me what it is or let me go. That's the way sometimes He says, I stop and I feel like there's a roadblock right in front of me at this right here. But there was. Because I began to think about Joseph. I began to think about somebody being about the Father's business. And if anybody was about the Father's business, it was Joseph. And Joseph was about the Father's business. And you know that when God downloaded his heart with all this thing about being about the kingdom of God, that he got overwhelmed and he began to open his mouth. He was only 17, 16, whatever it was. You know, 16, 17. I know I was what I was like. I knew everything. I was way smarter than my parents. Sarcastically. I thought so. And I believed the lie. I thought I was way smarter than my vo-tech teachers. No, I wasn't, but I'm just thinking. And no, I wasn't, but I want you to see this and realize that this Joseph, there was something about him that he, when he was downloaded all this information, that it just got a hold of him and become so passionate about it that he began to say, but I want you to know it was all for the good, because it was in that, come on, it was in him opening his mouth that God was dealing and working, and it was all about the kingdom of God. It was all about the Father's business, whether he knew it or not, but just stay about the Father's business. Amen. Even in your mistakes, even in your failures, just be about the Father's business. He'll take care of the rest. Amen. He will. Come on, amen. He will make a way where there isn't a way. Come on. Even in our failures, even our inadequacies, when we don't think we could do it, when we say, I don't know what I'm doing. Just be about the Father's business. Come on, amen. So just think about this. And he says, so here he was, and he goes and he says, hey, son. He says, here I am, Father. I want you to see the powerful thing that he was at ear's distance away from his father all the time. He was even about his earthly father, that he was willing to listen to what his father desired him to do. And he says, I want you to go to the field. I want you to find your brothers. And he went and he did what the father told him to do. He was at that place. And he went to where the father told him. And I want you to know that from that moment on, he began to go. He never gave up. He kept it about the father's business. Even when he was put in prison, he stayed with the father's business. Amen. It was always about the father's business. He never moved from protocol. He never moved from that place. And because of it, God took care of the rest. God healed the family. Come on. God brought them back together again. Redemption was on God's mind. Redemption was, but he was looking for a business partner. Come on, amen. He was looking for a business partner in a relationship that through Joseph, God would be glorified.
I want you to see that this moment, that place Sychar was at, this was at this place wherever, at this moment, at this place is wherever Joseph's well was. Man, there's so much in this. I love the Word of God. I love it. Ask God to fill your heart with a passion for the Word of God. I'm telling you. Just ask God. Just let it be on your heart. God, let me be thirsty for your Word. Let's just say that right now. Heavenly Father, I just pray that I become thirsty for your Word. I become thirsty for your Word. So here he is. He's at this place. And when he's at this place, Jesus was at this place. And you know what the place was called? Was Sychar. And that word means habitation. It means booth. So I began to think about this. I began to realize that he was looking for a habitation. He was looking to abide in this lady that was perishing, that was lost, that was at the end of her rope, that wasn't able to make it anymore. She was thirsty. Tell someone she was thirsty. I want you to know that every one of us, somewhere, somehow, we're thirsty. Jesus said that. He says, all that are thirsty, come unto me. Thirsty. You're going to become thirsty. But in the being thirsty, what are we going to? What are we searching for? When we become thirsty, what do I try to fill? What do I quench? He said, because if you do it outside of me, you'll be thirsty again. And you'll look again and again and again. But if you come unto me, you will never thirst again. You might get thirsty, but when you come unto me, you'll be fulfilled at that moment. See, I think that's the most beautiful thing. He was looking to habitate this girl's life. He was looking to invade at that moment, at that day. It was the day. It was that moment. It was God's day where he was coming to bring her out of her hurt, out of her pain. And I want you to know, here's the powerful thing. She wasn't praying for. She wasn't even looking for Jesus. She didn't even know him. But he knew her. And he was coming to meet her. I want you to know that God will set you up. He will set you up. He will put you in a position. He will, for victory. He will place you in a place of victory. In a moment of victory. Because he has a business appointment. He has a business appointment with this lady. I want you to know, how many business appointments have I missed that God had for me? I don't want to miss any appointments. I don't want to fail those around me because I'm about my business and not the Father's business. But I don't want to skip an appointment. But I want to be at that moment, at that time, that God can flow through my life. That at that moment, that person might not perish because I'm there at that moment. Amen? Come on. That you're there at that moment. That God will give you that word at that moment that might release them from where they are. Why? Because you've become a habitation of God. Wow. I want you to know the powerful thing is when we join our life, when we say yes to Him, I want you to know you're joining your earth with heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. That no one perishes. That we have a heart like Father. Come on. I really don't know where to end right now because I have 2 pages and I know better than that. Come on, somebody say amen. Listen, I want you to see this as they come. And he says, and now Jacob's well was there. There's history there. I just want us to finish with the Joseph part because I believe that he was always about the Father's business, that he didn't skip out. And at this place, as I searched the scripture, this is where they brought Joseph's bones. Somewhere in that vicinity. I don't know if it was right there or not. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. But it was within that area, and it amazed me. Who am I that you're mindful of me? that they never left his bones behind, because he never, never stepped out of the business of the Father. And even in his death, he was honored. Why do they mention this whole thing in the scripture? Because of details. Because he was faithful and God was faithful. And I believe that even Jesus, as he was sitting there thinking, I didn't know that he was there the whole time, but I want you to think about this. As he's sitting by this well, he sits down on this well. Joseph's bones are somewhere in that place. And he's thinking of his faithfulness. He's thinking of Joseph, how that he never gave up, he never quit, that he went through it all, that he was an example to all those around him, that they were looking to him. That God placed him, God put him with such responsibility, being part of his business, the kingdom of God, that he saved a nation. God used him to save a nation that was starving in famine, because he didn't say no when he was stripped of his robe, when he didn't say no when he was put into slavery, he didn't say no when he was lied about, he didn't say no when he was placed in a jail, he didn't say no. And here's Jesus right here, man. He's reminiscing about this moment, faithfulness to him, and thinking about this. Thinking about his. That story was carried on. From one generation to another, the faithfulness to the Father. How many of you guys know that Jesus was faithful? He was on the cross in moments that we can all look at and say to ourselves, I don't know if I'd do that. He was always about the Father's business. When he stood on the cross, when they beat him, when they kicked him, when they speared him, when he was bleeding, and he looked out to those around him and he says, forgive them, Father. What would I say? Would I be about my business? You wait till I get down, man. I'm going to get you. He said, forgive them. Forgive them. He was worried about them perishing. Well, he was perishing. Then he began to think about his mother. He was finishing his business. He wasn't stopping. And then he said that he was thirsty. I want you to realize this if you stand to your feet. I want you to know that it's powerful that he said that the King of all kings was thirsty. Come on. Does that seem odd to you that he was thirsty? Come on. Does it seem? Come on. Sometimes we look at scriptures and you think that I thirst. I thirst. I want you to know that in that moment, in that time, he was fulfilling the scripture. Because there's moments in our life that we're thirsty. Come on, amen. That we're looking for something. I want you to know that we're trying to find something. That I want you to know that he became thirsty so that you don't have to be thirsty. So that you don't have to long. That you don't have to perish. That you don't have to lack. Come on, the Spirit of God in your life. Purpose and destiny. That you can have purpose and be about the Father's business, fulfilling His will, and something within you drives you and moves you, and you have your being in the midst of that, that you won't be thirsty again once you drink from that well. And he says, I'm thirsty, and he says that the scripture might be fulfilled. He became thirsty for me. He was wounded, beaten for me, so that I could be about the Father's business. He saved me, set me free, that I could be right here, right now, glorifying His name with my breath, with all that I am. You deserve it all. Come on. So this is saying, raise a hallelujah. Come before you, God, with humble hearts. Lord, in all that you would desire us to God, hallelujah. To glorify your name with our lives, hallelujah. To bring you glory, hallelujah. Lord, that those that see us would know that you're the King of kings and Lord of lords. I pray that our lives represent you with everything that's within us, God. Lord, you give us the strength and the power. Lord, when we say to ourselves, I don't know what I'm doing, you do. You do. And you give us the strength. Lord, in the midst of that, Lord, we want thirst, hallelujah. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, after righteousness. Lord, we hunger and thirst after you, God. I pray for passion. I pray for zeal. For being about the kingdom of God. Live it when we come to our end. We could say, I've been about my Father's business. It is finished. I've done all you asked me to do. I've not turned my ear. I've not closed my eyes. But I've raised a hallelujah with my life. Lord, we glorify you and we honor you as our Father. And we will declare that we are. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, just give somebody a hug. Show everybody how to go downstairs. Just come down for a moment. She made a little bit of food. Take 10 minutes. Just grab a snack. Say hi to somebody. Bless somebody. Come on back next week for the next word.